ancak merhaba. Şalom, bonjour, konnichiwa. Şalom, bonjour, konnichiwa. Namaste, ciao.
Hello and welcome back. I'm your host Kerim and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral and stolen territories of the Han Communium-speaking Musqueam people. We are in the 26th episode of Euronero, where we are going backwards in recapping the Eurovision Song Contest year by year. And before starting the episode, I would like to wish everyone a great new year. I hope it has started wonderfully for you, and I hope it will go as wonderful, if not even better. This is a lovely Tuesday night. We have had several sunny days in Vancouver, and I hope you are enjoying your evenings today. In this episode of Euronero, we will be talking about Eurovision 1999. This will be the first episode covering Eurovision before the 2000s, and I think it marks a change in the reverse order in the way the songs are presented. Due to the lower audience capacity and the smaller stages before 2000, before the Eurovision 2000, the composition of the songs and lyrics play a bigger role than the choreography and the stage decor. Also, 1999 is the year when the countries started to be able to send songs in languages other than the official languages of each country. This was kind of favoring several countries which had multiple official languages. For example, Switzerland having four official languages: Romanian, English, French, and German. Favored greatly from this rule, and in 1999, the countries started to be allowed. The EBU, European Broadcasting Union, allowed the countries to send songs in any languages that they would like, and it had been this rule has been in effect since then. This marks a change for our show too, because since participating songs were restricted to their official languages before 1999, except between the four-year period of 1973 to 1976, in our upcoming episodes, we will hear more songs in languages other than English, which makes Eurovision and the songs much more fun, in my opinion. Another change that was made in this year was the abolishment of the live orchestra. It was not abolished per se, however, until a certain point, I mean. However, it was left to the choice of the host country or the host broadcasting institution, let me say. And that year's host, Israel, chose not to put a live orchestra, citing budgeting concerns. I guess they didn't have money left due to spending too much on genocide. Anyway, so as I said, the change that was made in 1999 was the abolishment of live orchestra. It hasn't returned since then. And as you will hear in our upcoming episodes, live orchestra brightened the stage of Eurovision with its presence up to that year. In our upcoming episodes covering the years before 1999, I will play a lot of Eurovision songs with live orchestra, hopefully. So, without further ado, I will start by giving a brief introduction on Eurovision 1999, and I will move on to talk about the important stuff. Eurovision 1999 was held in the occupied Jerusalem after Israel's win in the contest in 1998. Despite the calls for boycott of the contest, no countries withdrew, unlike in 1979 when the contest was held in Jerusalem again, occupied Jerusalem again. And Turkey withdrew from the competition for this reason, as a result of the pressure from the Arab countries. Speaking of which, I would also like to mention, this is kind of off topic to the Eurovision, but I would like to mention that a ceasefire has started in Palestine, specifically in Gaza, because by having a, even though they have a ceasefire in Gaza, Israel continued their brutal attacks in West Bank and Ramallah. A ceasefire has been achieved in Gaza in the ongoing genocidal war of Israel after more than 15 months. And it started last Saturday night in Vancouver time. It was Sunday morning in Palestinian time. And despite the eagerness of the occupying state of Israel to continue the war, the first stage is expected to last 6 weeks, with a hostage exchange deal that will return close to 1,900 Palestinian hostages from the Israeli prisons. I just want to say I admire the resistance of the Palestinian people to the genocide. They persisted against the horrendous attacks of Israel, supported by a lot of Western countries, including Canada itself and Joe Biden's administration itself. They paid the price of genocide by losing the elections to Donald Trump. Anyway, the Palestinian people and the Palestinian resistance achieved a ceasefire deal that will finally stop the attacks of Israel and free a lot of hostages. Back to Eurovision. In 1999, there were 23 countries participating, determined based on a relegation system that I have explained in one of the previous episodes of Euro. And this number, 23 countries participating, was reduced by 2 from 25 countries the year before. The winner was Sweden. They clinched their 4th victory in the contest with the song Take Me to Your Heaven by Charlotte Nilsson. So let's start by hearing the winning song, Take Me to Your Heaven by Charlotte Nilsson, representing Sweden in Eurovision 1999.
electronica, and we love electronic music sessions. Run for the night. When I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
From 1951 to 1992, First Nation and Inuit children were placed in non-Indigenous communities to live in private homes to attend school. If you or someone you know participated in this program, compensation may be available. For details, please visit boardinghomesclassaction.com or call 1-888-499-1144 for details on eligibility, support, or opting out.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR, and in this episode, we are talking about the Eurovision 1999. Before the break, we have heard the winning song of that year, Take Me to Your Heaven, by Charlotte Nilsson, representing Sweden. I apologize for the technical issue that caused this several seconds of dead air, but I resolved it, luckily, and we are back. As you know, we are mainly talking about the political and social events that impact the stage of Eurovision. And in this show and in this episode, I want to talk about the formation of the diaspora of people from Turkey in Germany through the German entry in Eurovision 1999. This was the first time the diaspora showed itself on the Eurovision stage on behalf of Germany. And to provide some context, I would like to delve into how the immigration of people from Turkey to Germany began, how the diaspora was developed, and the challenges and the stereotypes they have faced over time, along with the current situation. Before I start, I want to note that not all of the people in Germany with roots from Turkey are ethnic Turks, and a significant proportion of the population is also of Kurdish, Circassian, Assyrian, and Armenian and other ethnicity descents. So I will use the term of diaspora of people from Turkey to identify this community throughout this episode. The story begins in the 1960s during a period of rapid economic growth in post-war West Germany. After World War II, Germany faced a severe labor shortage due to the loss of a significant portion of its workforce. To address this issue, Germany signed recruitment agreements with several countries, including Italy, Greece, and eventually Turkey. However, the path to formalizing the migration to Germany was not straightforward. In 1960, before an official agreement was signed, some German firms began recruiting workers from Istanbul through private agencies to fill existing job vacancies. This marked the start of the immigration of people from Turkey to Germany as guest workers, or Gastarbeiter in German. By July of that year, German records showed that 2,495 workers, including 200 women, had arrived from Turkey. Meanwhile, Germany's bilateral labor recruitment agreement with Greece in March 1960 prompted Turkey to push for a similar agreement. The Turkish government argued that such an agreement was necessary to regulate migration, to protect workers' interests, and prevent the immigration of skilled laborers that is crucial to Turkey's economy. Initially, Germany rejected Turkey's request, citing the argument that Turkey was not a European country. That was a very racist argument. This was met with strong disapproval from the Turkish government, given Turkey's sensitivities about its European identity, which I have discussed in detail in the episode covering Eurovision 2003 that was won by Turkey, and I explained this in the context of Turkey's bid to join European Union. In December 1960, the Turkish embassy in Germany issued a diplomatic note to the German Federal Ministry of Foreign Affairs, emphasizing that rejecting Turkey while favoring Greece would be seen as neglecting a NATO ally. 10 months later, on October 30th, 1961, Germany agreed to sign the labor recruitment agreement marking the beginning of formalized migration from Turkey. For migration, I don't like to use the term formalized or informal migration or illegal migration because I don't consider any human being as illegal, and given the inequalities all around the world, no form of migration should be considered illegal in my opinion. But for the sake of citing the agreement, I just used this term. Anyway, the recruitment programs, original intent was to temporarily bring in workers for low-skilled jobs, particularly in industries such as construction, manufacturing, and mining. Workers were expected to stay for a few years, more specifically 2 years, and then return home. However, the agreement itself was less favorable compared to those signed with southern European countries. For example, unlike agreements with Italy, Spain, and Greece, the German-Turkish agreement did not include provisions for family reunifications. Turkish workers were also excluded from receiving child benefits, and their health insurance did not cover dependents in Turkey. Additionally, the agreement initially limited the workers' stay to 2 years, which created significant dissatisfaction. This discontent showed itself in events such as the strike in Essen on April 30, 1962, where 300 workers from Turkey protested against the exclusion from child benefits. The strike was met with police brutality, including the use of rubber bullets and the deportation of 10 strikers. Over time, some of these policies were amended. For instance, the bilateral social security agreement signed on April 30, 1964, granted child benefits and social security coverage for dependents. Similarly, the 2-year limit on workers' stay was removed in 1964 at the request of German employers. Despite initially being a smaller group compared to workers from southern Europe, migration from Turkey gained momentum after 1969, as labor forces from southern Europe diminished and Germany's demand for labor increased. By the early 1970s, workers from Turkey had become the largest foreign labor group in Germany. This labor migration laid the foundation for the diaspora of people from Turkey in Germany. Although the program was initially intended to be temporary, many Turkish workers from Turkey, settled permanently. They brought their families and they contributed to the development of a community of people from Turkey. Over the decades, this diaspora has grown and became an integral part of German society while facing significant challenges and stereotypes along the way. They were also trying to maintain their own culture, reflect their own culture, traditions, and music was one of the areas where they tried to maintain that. And there's an excellent document called Love, Deutsche Marx and Death. I would like to cite the producer of that document as well. It's directed by Cem Kaya, and I would like to repeat the name again. It's called Love, Deutsche Marx and Death. It's a wonderful document showing how different generations of people from Turkey had different lives in Germany, how they faced the stereotypes, how they tried to form a community there. It shows it through the music that is done by immigrants from Turkey in Germany. It is an excellent documentary, and I cannot recommend it enough. So going back, as I said, the diaspora, while growing, faced significant stereotypes and attacks along the way. And among the violent racist attacks towards the diaspora, one of the most important and devastating examples is the Solingen arson attack, in which 4 neo-Nazis set fire to a house of a large Turkish family, murdering 2 women and 3 children. Unfortunately, today, We see the rise of Nazism not only in Germany with the increasing votes in the polls of the Nazi Party of Alternative für Deutschland, AfD, but also around the world, and the latest example being Elon Musk's Nazi salute at the inauguration ceremony of Donald Trump yesterday. So, the recruitment agreement between Germany and Turkey ended in 1973, and at the 60-year anniversary mark in 2021, it was estimated that close to 900,000 workers immigrated to Germany from Turkey through the agreement. Today, there is estimated to be more than 7 million people with roots from Turkey in Germany. They are a big part of Germany, with even a current minister of Germany, Cem Özdemir, being a Circassian whose family is from Turkey. He is the Minister of Food and Agriculture in the coalition government in Germany. He is from the Green Party, and Green Party who have been, although he's from an immigrant family who managed to become a minister. I don't like Green Party because they have been historical warmongers, previously pushing NATO to bomb Kosovo during the Kosovo Wars, which was coincidentally ongoing during Eurovision 1999, and then also supporting Israel in its genocidal attacks in Palestine. Green Party did that. Green Party, the government in which Green Party is in, did that. Having mentioned it, I will talk more on the Kosovo War in the episode covering Eurovision 1999 in the context of Yugoslav wars. But going back to the current Eurovision, in Eurovision 1999, German entry served as a cultural milestone for me, because this was the first... I don't want to say it first, maybe it's not the first, but first representation of the diaspora of people from Turkey and Germany in the Eurovision. So the workers not only went to Germany from Turkey, there's also a big workers community in Belgium and the Netherlands. And that's why previously when Turkey was participating and voting was more strict, restricted to the SMSs, the applications or broadcasting from YouTube to all over the world was not there or was not widespread. Turkey was receiving a lot of televotes from Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Also, a Belgium-born artist whose family is from Turkey, Hadise, represented Turkey in Eurovision 2009 with her song "Düm Tek Tek," coming in fourth despite despite being sick during the performance and despite a terrible microphone issue for with the vocals microphones. She also stated her interest in participating again in Eurovision, representing Belgium, but I don't know if it's going to take place. And Turkey is not Turkey seemingly not going back to Eurovision anytime soon either. Another example, in Eurovision 2012, the Netherlands was represented by again an artist whose family was from Turkey, Ayten Kalan, with the stage name of John Franca, with her song "You and Me," or it's "You and Me," one of the, either one of them. I think it was an excellent song which failed to qualify to the grand final of Eurovision, and I think I played that song in my episode in Euro Neuro episode covering Eurovision 2012. I'm going to double check it now. Yes, I played that song. If you want to hear it, you can go back to that episode. So the diaspora not only did not only stay in Germany, but spread to other countries as well. This is the first time, to the best of my knowledge, it was represented on the Eurovision stage. Group Surprise Which means surprise in Turkish, represented Germany with the song Rise and Ah Jerusalem, Kudüs'e Seyahat, meaning journey to Jerusalem in both German and Turkish. The name is also same as the name of the children's game, where a set of chairs is arranged in a circle with one fewer chair than the number of players. While the music plays, the contestants walk around the set of chairs. When the music stops abruptly, all players must find their own individual chair to sit in. The player who fails to sit on a chair is eliminated, and one chair is then removed for the next round, and the process repeats until only one player remains and is declared the winner. Group Surprise originally was the runner-up for the national competition in Germany that was held to determine the Eurovision representative, with Hör den Kindern einfach zu, meaning just listen to the children in English, performed by Corinna May, winning the competition. However, it was revealed that this song was deleted in 1997, and this being against the rule of preventing songs released before January 1st, 1999 from participating in 1999, caused disqualification and replacement by Group Surprise and their song Rise and Ah Jerusalem. Surprise were a six-member German-Turkish musical group consisting of Cihan Özden, Deniz Filizmen, Yasemin Akkar, Filiz Zeyno, Savaş Uçar and Bülent Ural. The group was established specifically for the Eurovision Song Contest in 1999 by Cihan Özden, but the group failed to reach the charts in Germany, and their self-titled album from 2000 was only released in Turkey. Changes to their lineups were tried, but they were unable to stay together, and 2002 the band separated. Showing the enthusiasm for the lifting of the language restrictions in Eurovision Song Contest, they sang the song in four languages, majority being in English, German and Turkish, with a little line in Hebrew at the end. My short search for any kind of statement from them about the occupation of Palestine or the participation to a contest being held in occupied territories didn't return any results. But I will play their song to show how the diaspora of people from Turkey first showed themselves on the stage of the Eurovision. So let's hear the German entry for Eurovision 1999, Rise and Ah Jerusalem by Group Surprise.
Guys, müsaaden.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue.
What do you love, and what do you love about it? My name is Ewan, and with I Love You Hour, I want to know. Come join me bi-weekly Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to discuss music and the stories we connect to it, either in person, on the phone, or through messages at I Love You Hour on Instagram. That's I-L-U-V-U Hour on Instagram, or through email at iluvhour@gmail.com. If you love sharing music and telling stories, listen to I Love You Hour bi-weekly at CITR 101.9. And remember, I love you.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. Before the break, we have heard the German entry, Reise nach Jerusalem, Kudüs'e Seyahat, meaning Journey to Jerusalem, by Group Surprise, representing Germany. Group Surprise, as I have mentioned before, is a group made up of people from the diaspora of people from Turkey. And they came in third in Eurovision 1999, which was a very successful result for Germany. Even though Germany had previous victories in the Eurovision, they were suffering from poor results. And this was also, I believe, was unexpected. The song itself was unexpected for me as well, because the first time I watched Eurovision 1999 was during the COVID era, where there were lots of lockdowns when I was in Turkey. Even though there was no official lockdown back then in Turkey, I was doing my master's and working at the night shift at the reduced hours. Anyways, one of the best things that kept me going through that difficult era was Eurovision YouTube channels broadcasts of past Eurovision song contests under the name of Eurovision Again. And I watched Eurovision 1999 during one of those broadcasts, and I was very surprised to hear this song. I didn't know it existed. And when I found out about Group Surprise, I knew at some point I wanted to talk about their role in diaspora representation in Eurovision. And it happened today. Moving on, in the second half of the episode, I will play several songs that I really liked from Eurovision 1999. First one will be the first entry that was that performed on the night of Eurovision 1999, which is the Lithuanian entry. It's called the Lithuanian entry is called Shitraldas, I hope I didn't butcher the pronunciation. Not only I really like this song. I think it's a very nice song. But also it's from a language I haven't heard before. It's called Samogitian. And Samogitian is often considered a dialect of Lithuanian. But it is an Eastern Baltic language spoken primarily in Samogitia, which is one of the five cultural regions of Lithuania. And the song's name, Strazdas, means the song thrush in English. And the song thrush is type of a bird. So I really like this song. It has very nice tunes. And let's hear the Lithuanian entry for Eurovision 1999. Strazdas by... Aiste Smilgevičiūtė, representing Lithuania. Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We have just heard the Lithuanian entry for Eurovision 1999, Strazdas by Aiste Smilgevičiūtė. It was a really nice song. I really like this song. It's a Lithuanian folk song. However, it wasn't very well received, particularly I think among a lot of French or English entries, and it only received 13 points and came in 20th out of 25 countries. Moving on, I'm going to play the Croatian entry, which is Maria Magdalena by Doris Dragović. Doris Dragović represented Yugoslavia before in 1986. And this is the second time it is representing, because Yugoslavia determined the representative through an internal contest called Jugovizija, and it included participants from all the national televisions that make up the Socialist Federation of Yugoslavia. I will talk more about that in the episode covering 1993, Eurovision 1993. The Maria Magdalena finished the contest fourth, which was at the time, I think, Croatia's best ranking. However, it lost a third of its total points due to electronic vocals in the backing track, which is a violation of the contest rules, as all vocals must had to be sung live on the stage. So without further ado, and I also want to play the song because it's considered a fan favorite. It has been very well received at its time. It's considered best Croatian entry until Eurovision 2024, which is Rim Tim Tagidim by Baby Lasagna, which came in second, which was expected to win the Eurovision in 2024. But I didn't cover that because EBU couldn't exclude Israel from the contest, and I will not play that song or any song from that year either. This is one of the most favorite Croatian entries of all time. And we will now hear Maria Magdalena by Doris Dragović representing Croatia in Eurovision 1999.
Jer tvoja ljubav me razapela, odriješila me je mojih grijeha. Svijedo vivo, srca mi moj, ova žena zna da ti pripada.
Welcome back, everyone. You're on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you have just heard Maria Magdalena by Doris Dragovic representing Croatia in Eurovision 1999. This was a repeat of Croatia's best result, coming in fourth in the Eurovision Song Contest. Croatia also came in fourth in Eurovision 1996. Moving on, I'm going to play another song from a former Yugoslav country, Bosnia and Herzegovina. But before moving on, I have to say that the Norwegian delegation raised an objection to the use of simulated male vocals during the performance of Croatian entry, Maria Magdalena. Hence, sanctioned by the EBU, Croatia lost 33% of their points, but this didn't change country's position and points. It did change the points, but it didn't change its position of coming in fourth. But it was important because this point and ranking was used in the relegation procedure for qualification in the following contest. That's why this sanction was applied. Moving on, I'm going to play Bosnia and Herzegovina's entry for Eurovision 1999, which is Putnici by Dino Merlin. And Dino Merlin and Beatrice Pulo. Dino Merlin is a Bosnian music legend, and he participated in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2011 as well with the song Loving Rewind. And he came in sixth in that competition, which was a very nice entry as well. I really liked it, and I played it in the episode covering Eurovision 2011. In 1999, when Dino Merlin participated for the first time in Eurovision, it brought Bosnia and Herzegovina its best result and first top 10 result since it started participating in 1993, which is seventh place. So let's now hear Putnici, meaning travelers in English, by Dino Merlin and Beatrice Pulo, representing Bosnia and Herzegovina in Eurovision 1999.
Ja vjerujem u Boga i Bože odreženje i vjerujem da ništa nije priviženje. Sve je tako slavno, sve je tako realno. Ja vjerujem u to, ja vjerujem u to. Ne, ništa nije bilo, a da nije moralo. Nema toga lisa što se nije boralo. Nema kamena što neće jednom postati prah. Ani ramena što neće osjetiti strah. Qu'est-ce que tu veux? Tu es le voyageur. Nous sommes vous êtes. Ils sont où elles sont. Nous sommes vous êtes. Le voyageur. Nous savons vous avez. Ils sont où elles sont. Nous savons vous avez. La maison, oh, oh. Sestra Parisa, ne si šta smo ti i ja, da putni si bez mjesta, nikad saznat neće, tu nas vodi ova cesta, šta smo ti i ja.
Que sommes-nous, toi et moi, sinon des voyageurs sans place.
Ti resi da li žališ, resi da li se kaješ, ako kažeš da li ti u stvari sebe daješ. Ti resi da li žališ, resi da li se kaješ, ako kažeš da li to je dokaz izbora. Qu'est-ce que tu veux, tu es le voyageur.
Nous sommes vous êtes. Dieu. Nous avons, vous avez, ils ont, elles ont. Nous avons, vous avez, la maison, nous sommes, vous êtes. Ils sont, elles sont, nous sommes, vous êtes, les voyageurs. Nous avons, vous avez, ils ont, elles ont. Nous avons, vous avez, la maison, oh, oh.
Welcome back, everyone. You have just heard the Bosnia and Herzegovina entry for Eurovision 1999, Putnici winning the Travelers by Dino Merlin and Beatrice Pullo. This was a song in Bosnian and French, and it came in 7th in the Eurovision, which was the best result of Bosnia and Herzegovina at the time. I'm going to wrap up the episode with a song from Estonia, as you might know if you have listened to the previous episodes, one of my most favorite Eurovision countries along with Moldova. Estonia participated in Eurovision 99 with the song 1999 with the song Diamond of Night by performed by Evelyn Samuel and Camille. And this was the first entry from the country to be sung in English due to the rule changes that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. This song, Diamond of the Night, is an ode to the moon, and it's a very nice ballad, and I will close the show with a ballad as I always do. And on stage, the lyricist is a backing singer and a harpist, Saleh Kivimaker. Since Evelyn Samuel, one of the performers, lost out on going to the 1998 Eurovision, the lyricist for this song included a very meaningful last line to the chorus. Now I can say it's my time in relation to this. The song performed last on the night after Bosnia and Herzegovina's entry, which we have just heard, making it the last song performed in the 1900s. So I'm going to wrap up the show with that, Diamond of the Night by Evelyn Samuel and Camille. But before that, I have a small announcement, which is the Fun Drive Week is upon us. Every year, as you know, in February, we have a Fun Drive Week where we have special episodes for each show and try to fundraise for the to provide better, more high quality or more clear airways throughout Vancouver from our radio station here at the AMS Nest of UBC campus. And this year we will have a special episode on 11th of February, Tuesday. However, it will since my show is Euro is not scheduled originally on that day, it will be 1 hour later than its original time, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on 11th of February, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We will have a special Fun Drive special episode for Euro Neuro. I started to prepare a very special episode which will cover some very nice Eurovision songs, and I'm looking forward to that, and I hope to meet you in that Fun Drive special episode on February 11th at 7 p.m. from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Until then, before I close the show with the Estonian entry for Eurovision 1999, Diamond of the Night by Evelyn Samuel and Camille, I want to say until next time, take care and goodbye.
Starry-eyed skies, birds of desire.